Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Our goal at MPC is to inform, inspire, and impact our listening audience. We share information about people and organizations who are providing services and support around challenges that we face in our community. The challenges that we do face in our city or even our state or our nation are sometimes minor or less significant than others. Some may be unknown or perhaps just not on the radar for some people because they don't deal with them on a daily basis. We think it's important not to focus on the challenge or the problem, but rather state the issue up front and then focus instead on the ways people are doing something about it and offering solutions. We hope that this will inspire you to make an impact in whatever way you feel would be the best for you. On today's show, we're going to be talking about basic needs. A significant number of families in the U.S. struggle to meet basic needs like food, housing, and health care. Many full-time working families don't earn enough to cover these essential expenses. Research indicates that one in four parents have struggled to afford food or housing in the past year. So if you're a family struggling to put food on the table or pay the rent, how do you suppose they can prioritize other things a family needs, like heat? We live in Wisconsin, cold winter months. How do you heat your home? Maybe that's gas for your car to get to and from work, not to mention insurance on that car. And what if you just had a baby? Think of the additional expenses all that requires. Basic stuff like clothing, formula, diapers. My daughter and son-in-law just had a baby, and I had no idea how expensive diapers were. They weren't cheap when I had my babies, but they certainly are much more expensive now. My first guest today is here to talk about one way that they are helping. Welcome today, Megan Johnson, Executive Director from the Milwaukee Diaper Mission.
Good morning, Jill. Thank you for having me.
You're certainly welcome. Why don't we start by you telling us where the idea to start Milwaukee Diaper Mission came from?
Yeah, so back in early 2020, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I was volunteering at a local community center to teach a class about cloth diapers. I used cloth diapers with both of my little ones and felt very passionately about access to reusable hygiene supplies like cloth diapers. So I was teaching a class, I was running a new parent group, and I was doing some research on the diaper industry and the history of diapering. And I came across the statistic that one in three families in the United States struggle to afford diapers. Now, as a mom of two little boys in diapers, at the time, it stopped me in my tracks. I couldn't believe that so many families across the country were struggling. I did some more research and found that most major cities in the United States had a diaper bank or a basic needs bank. And when I Googled Milwaukee Diaper Bank to see if I could volunteer there, nothing like that existed. So what started out as me just spending a little extra time volunteering and giving back to my community in that way turned into a full-blown research project trying to figure out why Milwaukee didn't have this resource in the first place and if it was something that I could put together just as a stay-at-home mom without a nonprofit background. So unfortunately, you know, I mentioned the statistic, one in three families. Now, fast forward, we get through the pandemic. It's now 2025, and that statistic is now 1 in 2 families. So,
wow.
Yep, 50% of our country is struggling to afford these simple items like diapers, and they're having to choose between groceries and diapers on a weekly or monthly basis. So our support of our community is more vital than ever before. And, you know, I'm so proud of the fact that I was able to get this organization off the ground, but not without a lot of help from some others in our community.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about that collaborative piece. And we're going to get to that later in our segment. But what was one of the first moments that made you feel that this organization had the potential to really take off?
So I really struggled in the beginning because we were a one-income household. I was a stay-at-home mom. We were investing in childcare so that I could get this organization off the ground. So it was a sacrifice on the part of my family. And I was starting to come to a point where I wasn't sure how sustainable it was for my family. Was this something I could continue to do? And we turned a corner as an organization in late 2021. And we all of a sudden found ourselves with more support. And that enabled us to be able to move into a large facility as opposed to our teeny tiny office in a factory at the time. We were able to start paying me as executive director. Up until then, I was a volunteer ED. And so getting the support from our community in that way so that we were able to grow and expand only helped me feel, you know, more sure that this was sustainable. This is something that I could continue to do because I knew it was necessary for our community.
Well, and why do you focus specifically on diapers?
So diapers are a basic need, just like period products. You know, Milwaukee Diaper Mission is our name, but diapers aren't all that we do. We support families from birth all the way through end of life with diapers, wipes, period products, and adult incontinence supplies. So these basic essentials aren't always on the list of basic needs items, as you mentioned before, housing and access to clean water and energy. But these supplies are necessary for day-to-day life.
Absolutely. Well, tell us some information about how it works. How are families supported by Milwaukee Diaper Mission?
So as Milwaukee's basic needs bank, we provide a reliable source of these free supplies to our distribution partners. Those are nonprofits across the city who are already working with families in need on a weekly or monthly basis. We're able to provide free supplies to them. So we're not only alleviating a burden on families, but also on those small nonprofits that were previously struggling to afford and source these items. We provide the supplies, they pick them up from our facility, and then they distribute them out to the families they serve.
And are you only serving our immediate area?
Yes. So we are focused on the city of Milwaukee currently. There is a lot of need in the city of Milwaukee, and we do have a goal to continue to expand into different zip codes and throughout Milwaukee County as our capacity allows.
Well, I'm curious, what were your hopes for making impact in the early days?
In the early days, I was so proud that we had 5 distribution partners and we were distributing 5,000 diapers a month. Fast forward to 2025, we have 28 partners and we're distributing 150,000 diapers a month.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah, it's incredible impact. It truly is not possible without the support of our volunteers, our donors, our distribution partners, and the community at large.
Well, and that just leads me to my next question. Do you have a large staff to help offer the support to these families?
We have a teeny tiny team of 3, soon to be 4. So we just hired our 4th full-time employee, and we have about 1,000 volunteers who come through our doors every single year. So no shortage of hands, people who want to get involved and support our mission in that meaningful way, and we truly couldn't do it without them. We have weekly volunteers who are retirees or stay-at-home parents or folks who get time off work to volunteer. And then we have corporate groups, churches, schools, all sorts of, you know, people coming in of all ages and all abilities to help support these efforts.
Well, as they say, many hands make light work.
True.
Right? So, yeah, you can't do what you do without the help of volunteers. Well, you're obviously making a big impact in the lives of these families that you serve, but I'm sure that there have been some barriers, and perhaps there still are, as far as being the first basic needs bank serving Milwaukee. Let's actually take a quick commercial break here. And when we come back, Megan will elaborate on what some of those barriers are. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking again in the segment with Megan Johnson, Executive Director from the Milwaukee Diaper Mission. So, Megan, share with us what some of those barriers are that you encountered as the first basic needs bank serving Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think when you're starting something that hasn't existed before, there are always barriers that come along with that. Just trying to figure out the most efficient way to operate, trying to rally your community around you to support these efforts. Fortunately, though, we do have other basic needs banks across the country that we're able to look to for support and mentorship. So I, in the early days, reached out to a handful of other diaper banks just to get a feel for how they were operating. They were, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years further along in this process than I was, and they were incredibly kind with their time and their support as I was just getting things going. So I could kind of see a little bit into the future and having those conversations with them. But I think as a very small organization, I don't know that I think people assume that we've been around for a lot longer than we have and that we're maybe a larger organization than we actually are. I mean, we're about to celebrate our 5-year anniversary, which is an incredible milestone, but that's just kind of a blip in time when you think about it. So educating folks on the fact that we exist, the fact that we need support, we are making an incredible impact. We are very fortunate to have some strong partnerships in our community, to have lots of great media coverage, and that really gets our name out there. But then, you know, we still want to encourage people to understand that we need your support. We need your $10 monthly gift. We need your 2 hours in the warehouse to package diapers and period supplies for our community. So, you know, the work is not done. We have an extensive wait list of organizations that I think it's up to 23 organizations we've met, identified as a good fit for partnership, but we don't have the capacity or resources to bring them on yet. So we need to grow. We need to expand. And the only way we can do that is with our community's support.
Yeah. And the needs never end, right? They continue to go on. Are there other basic needs places in the state? You mentioned that you can get to other ones in other states, but are there other ones in other parts of Wisconsin?
There are, yes. We're a member of the Wisconsin Diaper Bank Coalition. So there are a handful of us spread across the state. We're one of the largest. And then Madison has the Village Diaper Bank, which was also founded by someone named Megan in her home. So it's a very similar story to mine. And we've formed a really great friendship and been able to be there for each other through all of this and, you know, discussing best practices and just, you know, navigating this new journey together. So there are some organizations in more rural areas of Wisconsin that also have incredible need. So, you know, I think if people live near a diaper bank in their community, they should definitely reach out and see what sort of support they need if it's not in Milwaukee.
Okay. Well, why do you think it is that diapers and women's monthly supplies are often left out of the conversation about basic needs?
You know, diaper banks are a relatively new industry. The conversation around basic needs, as we mentioned before, often circles around food and housing, and those are incredibly important things. But I think that diapers and period supplies should be right in line with those, because you can't change a diaper without clean diapers and wipes. You can't send your child to childcare if you don't have enough diapers to send with them. If you can't send them to childcare, you can't go to work and make the money you need to buy diapers. So these are cycles that families in our community, our neighbors, are having to go through. And it shouldn't be that hard. Diapers and period products should be free. They should not be taxed like luxury goods, but they are. And, you know, that's part of the work we do, is a little bit of that advocacy work and education folks on the fact that, you know, these are extremely expensive products, but there are ways to fix that. We just have to work together to do it.
Yeah. When I went out to buy diapers for my daughter, there's, of course, 10 different kinds, you know, and there's the fancy ones and the ones that have a little yellow line that turns blue when they need to be changed. I mean, they're getting really sophisticated, and then the prices are being jacked up as a result of that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of the things that you have been most proud of in these first 5 years?
You know, the impact is pretty impressive. To date, we've distributed over 3 million diapers and 1 million period products. So those are huge numbers. That's a lot of families reached. You know, we're supporting over 5,000 families and individuals with these supplies every single month. So when you look at the numbers, it's quite impressive, and I'm very proud of that. But above all of that, I'm proud of the connections that our organization has made in the community, and we'll talk about that a little bit later with Bill from Rooted and Rising. But this partnership model that we've developed and the relationships that we've formed have only made Milwaukee a stronger community. I always say that our partners are our lifeline to families. We don't provide that direct service to families. We really lean on those other nonprofits to be able to support our community in a meaningful way. And those partners are strategically chosen. They are food pantries, they're home visiting agencies, they're birth workers like doulas and midwives, domestic violence shelters, the list goes on and on. But we're really strategic about what organizations we choose to work with, who they're reaching in our community, and how many people we're able to impact together. So I would say I'm most proud of those partnerships that we've formed, and in turn, the incredible support that we've been able to give families.
That's awesome. And you have for sure accomplished many, many things in those first 5 years. What about the future? What would you say are your hopes for the Milwaukee Diaper Mission in the future?
Well, our ultimate goals are to end diaper need and end period poverty in our city. We have a long road to go, but that would be ultimately what we would be able to accomplish. I would like to see us continue to grow and expand our distribution network, serving more families. I would like to see us expand our programming so that, you know, we're offering a more holistic and well-rounded support to families. We're piloting a training pants program this year, so we're offering training pants to families for the first time so that they're able to potty train their babies and get them out of diapers so they don't have that burden anymore. So we're constantly looking at ways that we can expand our reach and also expand our offerings so that our community has what it needs and deserves.
Okay. Well, we don't often have time to get to, well, we never actually have time to get to everything that we could be talking about. But the idea is that we're planting that mustard seed so people are aware that Milwaukee Diaper Mission exists. But what would you say to our audience if they're interested in supporting your mission? How can they do that?
There are a couple of different ways. I will say, first off, our website is a great resource to learn more about how to get help if you need it and how to help families, you know, by working with Milwaukee Diaper Mission. So if people are interested in volunteering with us, they can sign up on our website. If people would like to provide a donation, we can purchase diapers and period products with the funds that they donate. People can host a drive for us. So a lot of people at their place of work or at their school like to host a diaper period supply drive to support our mission. We have an Amazon wish list. We are able to purchase with our bulk buying options about twice as much as you can at the store with our dollars. So if folks are able to give, we're able to buy truckloads of diapers and period products, which I know is probably hard for some people to imagine, but that's the scale at which we're distributing right now.
That's wonderful. Yes. So you prefer a monetary donation as opposed to donating the actual diapers.
Yeah. I mean, we prefer any kind of support, but I will say that, you know, we can purchase exactly what we need in that given moment versus, you know, what's donated to us, you know, in an in-kind basis. So any support is welcome. Honestly, if people don't have the funds or the products to donate to us, just resharing our posts on social media does wonders for a small nonprofit trying to get their name out there. So that
absolutely
would be much appreciated.
Yes. Advocacy is really, really important and is a great way to get the word out. And doing things like this, right? Doing the radio show just to bring awareness to the organization. Share your contact information with us, if you would, please.
Yeah, so people can visit our website, MilwaukeeDiaperMission.org. And if anyone has any questions or wants to reach out to us, our email address is hello@MilwaukeeDiaperMission.org. And all of those emails come to me first. So if someone would like to reach me, that's how they can.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you, Megan Johnson, Executive Director from the Milwaukee Diaper Mission. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're welcome. You're going to come back in a little later in the show, but you talked about how important it is that Milwaukee Diaper Mission accomplishes their goals and hope for the future by collaborating with other organizations in the community. I've said many times before that not one nonprofit can do it all, so they should and they need to rely on partnerships within the community. Our next guest is one organization that the Milwaukee Diaper Mission works closely with, and we'll learn about who that is after our commercial break. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and my next guest today is Bill Schmidt, Executive Director from Rooted and Rising, whose mission is to build a nurturing, thriving community where all people feel welcome, supported, and a sense of belonging. They are also a 2025 Nonprofit of the Year finalist. Congratulations on that, and welcome to the show, Bill.
Thank you very much, Jill. Pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to have you. Why don't you start by telling us about the background of Rooted and Rising and how long you've been immersed in the Washington Park neighborhood?
Yeah, Rooted and Rising was founded way back in 1962 by the United Methodist Church here in Wisconsin. During those early years, the agency worked in a number of different places and on different issues, but largely around social work, support for mothers, and housing. In 1990, the agency found its forever home in the Washington Park neighborhood on Milwaukee's near northwest side. And we've been a part of that neighborhood ever since that time. And we're really proud to be there and consider ourselves a kind of an anchor institution and really part of the fabric of that beautiful neighborhood.
Well, how would you describe the Washington Park neighborhood to listeners who possibly aren't familiar with it?
Yeah, so Washington Park is an old neighborhood on Milwaukee's near northwest side. It used to be a predominantly German neighborhood, and we still have the legacy of that with a lot of old German houses throughout that neighborhood. Now it is a really diverse neighborhood. It's predominantly African-American, but it's really diverse in the sense we have a lot of recently arrived immigrant family. There's a large Hmong population. And really representatives from all across the racial and ethnic spectrum in the neighborhood. It's a working class neighborhood, has a lot of beautiful history and wonderful assets, but a lot of young families that are often struggling to meet all of their daily needs. Even though most of the families that we work with are working full-time jobs, many of them multiple jobs. So it's a working class family neighborhood, and we've been proud to be a part of it for almost 35 years now.
Well, give me a frame of reference. Like, what are the streets in the Washington Park neighborhood?
So many people probably are familiar with Washington Park itself. If we go way back in time, it used to be the home of the Milwaukee Zoo. But the northern boundary is North Avenue.
Okay.
And then the southern boundary is Valete Street, and then 27th over to Highway 175, which is the spur of freeway that shoots just north of the stadium. Go Brewers, going for 11.
Yeah. Well, it just kind of helps people to get a frame of reference, I think, on where the neighborhood is. Well, you recently celebrated your 6th anniversary as the executive director for Rooted and Rising. What was it about this organization that attracted you to the position, and more importantly, what's kept you there?
Yeah, well, a lot of things. I think first and foremost, it was the mission of the organization. And I've worked overseas for many years, and then originally from the Milwaukee area, and then I moved back in early 2019. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life and career moving forward. And I got connected to a board member and then got a chance to meet some of the staff and interviewed for the position. We have wonderful staff, incredibly hardworking, committed to the mission of the organization to serve humbly alongside of our neighbors and not in a way that is kind of prescriptive or paternalistic in any way, but to really try to immerse ourselves in the neighborhood and understand in a non-judgmental way what families are going through and how we can be of best assistance to anybody who comes through our doors, whether they're coming through in a really positive moment in their life or maybe at one of the lowest moments in their life. And I think that really requires a special skill set and empathy and attitude, and our staff and volunteers and board members really exemplify that in a really special way. And so more than anything, that's what attracted me to the organization. And I think, as we'll talk about a little bit more here too, the work that we do in partnership with others, I think I see that it is allowing us to have an impact, a real impact in people's lives in a positive way that they respect and appreciate. And so that feels good.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fulfilling to be a part of the mission.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us what types of programs and services you offer.
Yeah, we like to think of our program components across four main areas. All of it is really centered on, we talk a lot about community building, and we do that in a number of different ways. The four main program areas that we work in are, first of all, housing. We provide supportive family rental housing for a total of 72 families in the area. The housing program does have a special component to it as well, where we're serving families, a number of families who are transitioning out of homeless situations, which is a really special part of our mission that we're able to offer as well. And then we talk about all those supportive services that come alongside the housing. So we have an on-site state-licensed child care center, which is also, we know, just a huge fundamental need for families for all the reasons that we all understand.
Yeah.
And then our community food center that we operate in collaboration with many different partners, including our friends at the Milwaukee Diaper Mission. And then the last area is community engagement, which is really trying to work with neighbors, residents of the community, small business owners, other stakeholders in the neighborhood to support their needs and their aspirations in collaboration with the city of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County, different corporations and other groups.
Okay, I just want to step back to the housing program for just a minute. Can anyone apply to live in one of your housing units?
Yes. Our housing is specifically geared towards families. We have a number of units that are specifically reserved for families that are referred to us by a body that is called the Coordinated Entry System, or the Milwaukee's Continuum of Care, which is a collaboration of different agencies that are dedicated to eliminating homelessness in Milwaukee County. So those units are reserved specifically for those referrals to try to do our part to eliminate homelessness in our community. The rest of the units are, again, geared towards families. We do have some smaller units that might be suitable for individuals, but they are all income restricted too. So they are, you can think of them as like workforce housing or low-income housing, but primarily we're trying to make sure that we're meeting the needs of working families who have a difficult time to find safe, quality, and affordable housing on the wider open marketplace. So if you fall into that category, you should definitely check us out. We do accept applications from anybody who is interested in looking at housing. It's real easy to do that and to look at our pre-screen application, which will give you an idea of whether or not you will meet the criteria and qualifications for the housing.
And the application is on your website?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Well, as I said in the last segment, collaboration, and actually you, Bill, talked about this, that collaboration and building partnerships within the community is so important for an organization to be able to carry on their mission and their vision. When we return, Bill will talk about who else besides the Milwaukee Diaper Mission they work with regarding community engagement. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. with your host, Julie Conimo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm continuing my discussion with Bill Schmidt, Executive Director of Rooted and Rising. So, Bill, in addition to your partnership with the Milwaukee Diaper Mission, who else do you work with?
Yeah, well, Jill, you know, I think, as I mentioned earlier, we have a wonderful staff that works incredibly hard and is extremely dedicated to the mission. But at the same time, I think we all recognize that there is nothing that we do that isn't amplified or enhanced or improved in many different ways by being open to and then actually going out and working in partnership. So when we think about our community food center, for example, which is the primary venue that we utilize to get all of the supplies, the diapers and other supplies from the Milwaukee Diaper Mission out to our community, it literally requires dozens and dozens of partnerships to make that food center operate on a weekly basis. Part of that is just because of the big rise in food insecurity that we've seen over the last few years, and which is spiking again this summer, unfortunately. So we know that the needs are huge and they only continue to grow, which is frustrating, but it's part of our challenge and our responsibility is to collaborate with others in order to meet that moment and to continue to be able to deliver on our commitment to the community. And so we are a proud member of the Hunger Task Force of Emergency Food Pantry Network and have been for more than 25 years. They are a foundational partner for us and bring our food center to life week after week, year after year. We couldn't do it without them. In addition to them, I mean, the list goes on forever. We could fill up the rest of the segment talking about all the different churches and women's groups and corporations like Trader Joe's and Palermo's and Colectivo and Pick and Save and Metcalf's and Wauwatosa Village and so many other partners that that are supporting our work either through contributing items to stock our shelves or providing volunteers. We, just like the Milwaukee Diaper Mission, we really rely upon the volunteer network that we have to be able to do what we do. We really couldn't do it without them. And so, and not to mention like all of the partners that support our work financially. Mm-hmm. And so it's a beautiful thing. Like we love to work in partnership. We understand the ways in which it allows us to do what we do better, in a more sustainable way, in a more impactful way, and in a way that really does meet people where they are and provides the types of services and products that people really want.
Yeah. What about neighborhood residents? You know, what does that actually look like when you're collaborating with neighborhood residents? Is that that volunteer piece or is there more to it?
It's both. I mean, it is fundamental. And I think a lot of times we live in a busy world and we have incredibly demanding and busy jobs. And a lot of times we're just like everyone. We're trying to like get through our to-do list or whatever. But we always have to reset ourselves and understand like the foundation of our work is the resident base in our community. And so sometimes that means taking a pause, stepping back, creating space and time to have conversations, to actually listen and hear what people are telling you. And that might require you to be a little bit flexible or shift a direction that you were going or modify a program in a certain way. And so I think our staff, they have kind of a natural inclination to do that anyways, but it really is, I mean, it requires time and effort, investing in relationships and conversations and building up trust, just being present in the moment so people see that you are there and you care by your presence and your time and your effort that you commit to the work. And when you do that, you get better insight into what families are really experiencing, what their fears are, what their needs are, but also what their aspirations and dreams are as well. And so we do a lot of work that is really centered around resident engagement. I'll give it just a quick example. We have, for the last year and a half, been working on a new quality of life plan for the Washington Park neighborhood, which has been led by a group of about 12 or 13 resident leaders throughout this process who have been working with us and some of our partners and then engaging with stakeholders across the city, sector experts in housing and economic development, education and safety. And we will be celebrating next month the completion of that quality of life plan, which we will then use to try to attract community-supported investment in the neighborhood to support the actual stated expressed needs of the people who live there. And if we're not doing that, then we're wasting everybody's time.
Right,
so,
right.
Fortunately, as I said, like it really is so ingrained in the work that we do now that it occurs naturally, but it takes time and it takes effort and it takes a real like willingness to engage and listen.
Yeah. Well, you really need that piece because unless you or until you understand what the community actually needs, there might be organizations that are saying, this is what we can do and we can provide you with this, this, and this. But if the community is like, that's not what we need.
Yeah.
Our need is here. And then you're meeting those needs, which obviously is critical. Well, Megan, if you want to hop back into the conversation, I'd be curious for your input to some of these questions I have. Nonprofits are often competing for funds. And sometimes, unfortunately, they don't want to work together because of the heavy competition for those funds. Share with us why you both have decided to work together and explain how your clients and your respective organizations benefit.
I can start. I think, we've been about collaboration since day one as kind of a standalone organization that didn't previously exist. We don't necessarily have competition, quote unquote, within our mission and the work that we're trying to do. Nonprofits in Milwaukee and across our country are really struggling right now. And I think we are all a little bit concerned about the philanthropic landscape. However, we work together. We lift each other up. We support each other. And without that, we would be nothing without each other. So I think it's less a competition for funding and more a conversation about how we can work together to gain access to funding, how we can work together to uplift our community in new and innovative ways, which will open up the door for that funding.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, to your question, that does rear its head from time to time, that sentiment around competition. But I think fundamentally, like we have to reject that kind of scarcity mindset because it doesn't lead to a place where all of our communities and our organizations are thriving. And, we think about our food center, how it operated prior to our partnership with the Milwaukee Diaper Mission. It was a great service to the community, but it wasn't as impactful as it is now. I mean, those families who were coming in prior to our collaboration, we would have some supporters and donors that would provide us with hygiene items or diapers or, all sorts of different items. But frequently we would be telling people, sorry, we just don't have any this month or we ran out.
Yeah.
That can still happen from time to time, but now, through this type of partnership, we have people that are coming in that sure might want to do a little food shopping in the food center around food items, but many who are coming just for the diaper supplies and they just need some support for maybe the next 9 to 12 months. They just had a baby or whatever. So that type of partnership just really allows us to better serve our community and deliver on our mission.
Well, and I think it's important that you guys complete and not compete. It's something that people say often, but I think that's so
absolutely
important. You're not there to compete against each other. You're there to come together and have such a greater offering to the people that you serve. Real quickly, for listeners who are not struggling to afford basic needs, what do you wish they knew about the families that you serve?
if people think about their weekly trip to the grocery store, it is really put into perspective when you start thinking about being a mom and having diapers in your shopping cart and also a box of period supplies. And you get to the register and you only have enough money for one of those. Which one would a mother choose? They would choose the diapers for their baby. They put the period supplies back on the shelf. And that is an incredibly difficult decision to have to make. They want their baby to be clean and dry, but they also deserve to be clean and dry. So for those who maybe aren't struggling with this issue, thinking about it in through that lens, these access to basic essentials like this is a human right, and it's something that everybody should have. So I think, you know, our partnership specifically is opening a door for families because they're, you know, getting access to food and other supportive services, but also these very simple hygiene items.
Any additions to that?
Echo Megan's comments for sure. And like, I would encourage people to come visit us, come volunteer with us, do the same at the Milwaukee Diaper Mission. When you're with us, you will see that these families who come into our space are just like you and me. And the vast majority of them are working full-time jobs, some of them 2-3 jobs. And the wages are just not high enough to support all of the needs and items that all of us or many of us sometimes take for granted too. So,
okay. Well, can you tell us, share your contact information? So if there's somebody out there that wants to support Rooted and Rising, they know where to go.
Yes, absolutely. We've put a lot of time into our website. Go check it out. It's www.rootedandrisingwp.org. And that's a good place for people to learn more about how they can get involved and support us, but also for those who are looking for assistance in a number of different ways, too.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I want to thank my guests today, Bill Schmidt from Rooted and Rising and Megan Johnson from the Milwaukee Diaper Mission. Thank you both for sharing all the ways that you support children and families. I appreciate you joining us for the interview today.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to the Milwaukee Diaper Mission or Rooted and Rising. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our guests today, that you think would be a great guest for our show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. If you'd like to learn more about the ways people and organizations are contributing to making our community a great place, you can tune into Milwaukee's philanthropic community Sunday mornings at 10 on News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. You can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, or you can also listen on demand. If you're interested in making a difference in some way for someone in our community, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or advocating, find an organization that aligns with your interests and your giving goals. Learn about their mission. Learn about their vision, their purpose. What is it they specifically do and who do they serve? And then determine how best you can be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today and have a great day.